Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. Galatians 2, 17 through 20. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the flesh which I now live, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Once again, good morning. Glad you are here for our 11 o'clock worship service. Those online, thank you for joining us as well. Please come back anytime online, obviously, but of course in person as well. You'd be our honored guest. It is a glorious day. I can think of no place I would rather be than right here, right now. Just kind of a quick thought before we get into our lesson. We'll be here in Galatians 2 in a second, but with the meetings coming up this week and in the next couple of weeks, of course, you've got out at Oak Grove, you've got Brother Herb also. Out at Chestnut Grove, you want to go to a different grove, you've got Charles Williams. And one, there's a, I don't believe we got a flyer here for, which I'll have to get on to him for that. But out at Trousdale, right off the Jacksboro Road, starting today through Wednesday, Chris Whitaker's going to be there. So basically, what I have noticed in the area is people are using all the people we've had to do meetings. Because we've had Brother Herb, and we've had Brother Chris, and we've had Brother Charles. And if you enjoyed any of those, and you're looking for somewhere good to go this week, I know they would love to have you out there for any of those. So Brotherhood is a good place to be, and we need to support Brotherhood because they support us in our efforts here at the Wood Congregation. This morning, I want us to look at a passage found in Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, although we're really going to kind of focus in on that 20th verse there. That 20th verse is actually a song that we sing sometimes at vacation Bible schools and camps and the like. I am crucified with Christ, and unless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, what about in context here, Galatians 2? If you back up just a little bit, Paul has had to be not a nice guy. Paul, writing to those in the region of Galatia, has had to tell them what Peter has done. He's referred to as Cephas here in this chapter. But the problem was, of course, Peter being one of the inner three, we think of Peter, James, and John, kind of those inner three of Christ's apostles. Peter, who the first half of the book of Acts, he's the hero of preaching the gospel. Well, the problem was is that when Jews would come down from Jerusalem, before that, Peter would be eating with Gentiles because now one in Christ, it does not matter. But the problem is when these Jews would come down from Jerusalem, well, Peter would kind of push those Gentiles off to the side and only hang out with Jewish people. See, for some reason, Peter got it in his mind that there was a distinction which he knew better. And so Paul says, I withheld him to the face. I called him out on what he was doing because he was being a hypocrite. He was trying to satisfy the law of Moses more than the law of Christ. And although I hate for anybody to do this, I'm kind of glad Peter did, because that shows me that if anybody could get confused and it be one of the three that were closest to Christ, we need to guard ourselves, brethren. We need to be careful. Now, Paul uses this not to say, look, I'm better than Peter, because he's not. In fact, he says that elsewhere. He said, but he was in error, and in love I corrected him to his face, and he had to change that. Paul illustrates this to those at Galatia because they needed to heed the same message. They needed to take the commendations of Paul and heed that message. They could not go back to that old law. They grew up in that old law, but they couldn't go back to it. They're now living in Christ, prepositional phrase. They are Christians. So then the question becomes, so we're dead unto the law. Is life unto God? Paul, is that what you're saying? How is this possible? Well, I believe we could answer that this morning with four paradoxes of the Christian life. And before we go on and you say, well, I know I've heard the name paradox, not talking about medical doctors, it's an English phrase. What does paradox mean? Defined, a seemingly absurd or self-contradictory statement or proposition that when investigated or explained may prove to be well-founded or true. In other words, a paradox is something that seems wrong. It seems like it couldn't happen. It seems absurd. But once you start looking at it, it actually makes perfect sense and it's true. That's where I want us to spend our time here this morning in this worship hour. Four paradoxes of the Christian life, really eyeing in there Galatians 2 and verse 20. How is it possible to live the Christian life? Number one, we must recognize the paradox of perpetuation. The paradox of perpetuation. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So what is the paradox of perpetuation? The dead continue living. You see, that's a paradox. You would think if something's dead, well, it's dead, it can't keep living yet. Paul says, I'm crucified. To crucify means to kill something. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. There's your first paradox. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, because rather we see we're dead to the physical, yet at the same time we're alive to the spiritual. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify, or kill, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, that would be passion, evil concupiscence, that would be desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. See, Paul is saying, set your affections on things above, not on things below. Look for the spiritual, not the physical, because you're dead to the spiritual, yet you're alive to the, you're dead to the physical, yet you're alive to the spiritual. But he also says, if you back up to chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, you're dead to the flesh, yet you're alive in the spirit. Jump back with me, Colossians 2 and 11. In whom ye also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together. In other words, he is made alive with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was contrary to us, which it took it to the nail, or took it out of the cross, nailed it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We are dead to the flesh. That physical side, verse 13. He is quickened. He has made alive. That's a paradox. Friends, the dead continue to live. Go with me to Romans chapter 6, where we see we're dead to sin, yet we're alive unto righteousness. Romans 6. Beginning in verse 1, we're dead to sin, yet alive to righteousness. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection be. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died, He died unto sin once, in that he liveth unto God. You notice there, verse 8, if we be dead with Christ, we know that we shall live with him. We're dead to sin, yet we're alive in righteousness. One more on this, and I think you've got it. I'm just going to mention it, because Brother Sean read it a minute ago, and I appreciate that, 2 Corinthians 5. We are dead to the old, we're alive to the new. If any man put on Christ, he is a new creation in Christ. We are new. We are dead to the old, we're alive to the new. Friends, the first paradox in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 is a perpetuation. We were dead, and now we live. Our second paradox I want us to examine as we go back to our text is the paradox of identity. Identity, in other words, I'm not myself. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's a paradox of identity. I'm not Justin. It's, you see, Christ living in me. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, if you will. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. We see that in choosing to serve the Lord, which is what we all should do, and doing that, we're going to deny ourselves. We're not going to live after my or your passions. Matthew 16, 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. What is a man profited? He shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We see when we follow Christ, we deny ourselves. We're no longer living for us. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because we see our example, following Christ, should show Christ in us. Our example should show Christ living in us. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, yet we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, we're not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which are live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Jesus Christ should be manifest in the life that I live. You as a Christian, he should be manifest in your life as well. It's a paradox of identity. It's not me. It's not you. It is Christ. Go with me once again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We see every time of our life should be living for him. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10. Not just when it's convenient, not just Sunday morning, Wednesday night, maybe a gospel meeting if I go to one a year. That's not what he's talking about. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake, whether we sleep, we should live together with him. Now, if you want to categorize your day, you're either awake or you're asleep, or you're not. There's no in between. You're either getting out of sleep or you're getting ready to go to sleep, or you're doing something in between, right? He says, regardless, you're living for him all the day long. Our final passage on this point is found in Philippians chapter 1. And I think we can move on after this. Philippians chapter 1, 18 through 21. In fact, as we talk about a paradox of identities, for me to live is Christ. It's for Christ to live. See how Paul pens it in Philippians 1, 18. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in presence or in truth, Christ is preached. I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or by my death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul's going to go on to say, I'd rather be home with him, but you need me here, so I will be here with you. He says, so when I die, it's gain for me. But while I live, it's gain for Christ because I'm out preaching the gospel. Friends, when we have obeyed the gospel, when we're living the Christian life, we have a paradox of identity because it's not me. I'm not myself. It is Christ living in me. As we continue looking at our lesson text of Galatians chapter 2, we see our third paradox this morning is the paradox of location. The paradox of location. In other words, I'm in two places at the same time. I am in two places at the same time. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, number one. Number two, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Number three, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I am in two places at once, if you want to look at it that way. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians 4. We were dancing around this passage. We'll look at it more. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. There are two realms that are contrasted for the Christian. Two realms that we will discuss in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. You see the two contrasts there? We're here on a physical side, on a temporal side, but we have a spirit that will live on in an eternal side, on a non-temporal side, not on this earth. We're in two places at once because we have a soul that will live on forever. But keep going in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God. A house not made with hands. Hey, we just sang a song about that. Be eternal in the heavens, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall be found not be found naked. For even in this tabernacle we do groan, we're burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Paul says, I'm craving for that spiritual body. I'm craving for that spiritual home. Now, I have to live in this fleshly tabernacle. He said, but I'm longing for that spiritual body. I'm longing for that spiritual side. He says, we're here, but our citizenship is in heaven. And so that's a paradox of location. 1 Corinthians 5 is where we go for our next one, if you will. 1 Corinthians 5, 5 through 8. We see we have confidence that is exhibited toward the Spirit while we're here in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 5. Now, there's a problem at Corinth, which is where we're picking up. We're reading somebody else's mail, but it works for our application day as well. There was a man who had his father's wife, so probably he had a sexual relationship with his stepmother. Gross. They were told, you better fix this problem before I come. To deliver him, such a one unto Satan, verse 5, of the destruction of flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul said, you better cast out that man. He needs to know that you do not approve of his sexual activities, his immoral sexual activities, that the physical side should suffer, but the spirit may be saved. See, we shouldn't glory in the spirit right now, or we shouldn't glory in the flesh, brethren. We should have confidence toward the spirit while we're in this fleshly tabernacle. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, and then we'll move on to our final paradox. Romans chapter 8, we see, talk about the law of the Spirit. And really, that's verses 1 through 14. We're just going to read verses 1 through 4 for the time being. Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. For the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, that was weak for the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. But notice he goes on to talk about the law of the flesh. For they that are the flesh, verses 5 through 9a, they do mind the things of the flesh. They of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. That's worldly. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, Paul's there. See, life of flesh. For the law of the flesh is death. It's enmity. You're an enemy of God. But the law, life of the flesh, keep going. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead also shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. See, there's life in the flesh because of there's life in the Spirit. And that's where he concludes. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. If you through the Spirit do mortify, put to death, kill it, better off with it dead anyways. The deeds of the body, you shall live. For many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He says, don't be living after the law of the flesh. There's death in the flesh. Live after the Spirit, because there's life in the Spirit. Life in the flesh for the Christian as well, though he's in a body that's dying as an eternal soul that lives on forever. So that's another paradox, the paradox of location, being in two places at once. Our final paradox under examination this morning, the paradox of distribution. The paradox of distribution, in other words, life is given by life being taken away. Life is being given by the fact that life is being taken away. Once again, Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, number one. Number two, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Number three, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Number four, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life of Jesus was taken away, and that gave me life. You see, that's a paradox. His life ended, but with his life, now he came back from the dead, don't get me wrong, 3 days later, and thanks be to God he did. But in that act of dying upon the cross, he died and gave me life. God, Romans 5:5-8, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I like to change the plural to a singular. For God commended his love toward me, and that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ died for you. And in that we might have life through his name. You know the golden text of the Bible, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but what, John? But have everlasting life. The death of Jesus brought everlasting life. But let's see what maybe the junior golden rule, 1 John 3:16 has to say. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Hereby, John says, perceive we the love of God. In other words, John says, here's how you can find God's love. Because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Since distribution, he laid down his life for us so that we may live. Flip over to 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. We might live in him. Let's see what Paul told the young Titus very quickly in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon. Titus 3, beginning in verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hope of eternal life. He shed abundantly. When he died, that means I can live. One final passage in the lesson is yours, and that comes from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. Galatians, then we get Ephesians. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We were dead in sins. He quickened us, made us alive. That's the paradox of distribution. Life was given when life was taken away. I hope this lesson on four paradoxes from Galatians 2:20 helps you remember the essentials to living the Christian life. Number one, perpetuation, the dead or alive. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But then identification, yet not I but Christ liveth in me. Location, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We're two places at once. Distribution, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now if that isn't love, I don't know what is. Maybe you've been hearing this lesson this morning, whether in the building or whether you're online, and you go, boy, those sound like some great blessings, but I'm not a Christian. I'll tell you what, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation. If you've not obeyed the gospel, not put on Christ in baptism by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, upon that confession, we lower you into the watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. Why not do so this very morning? Everything's prepared. We'd love to assist you with that. Maybe you have. Keep remaining faithful to the end, brethren. Keep living that life of a Christian, knowing these paradoxes, knowing that it's not you, it's Christ. If you need to repent of sins, we're here for that as well. Whatever your spiritual need may be this morning, we can help you anyway. Please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.